So that's a few comments on religious land uses. Let's go to another one that's been around for a little over 20 years now, and that are cell tower regulations. I want you particularly to focus on that picture of the faux tree on the lower left-hand corner. That actually was comes from a case out of Minnesota. Now, when we deal with local governments and cell towers, we all go back to the Telecommunications Act of 1996. And that statute imposes five limitations on what local authorities can do when cell towers come knocking at the door. Well, we know, number one, local governments can't prohibit the provision of cell service in the community or have the effect of prohibiting the provision of cell service in the community. We can't unreasonably discriminate between providers of functionally equivalent service. We can't favor T-Mobile over AT&T, for example. We have to act within a reasonable amount of time after an application has been filed with us at the city level. And then if we're going to deny the application, we have to have a written opinion or explanation of the reason why, and it has to be supported by substantial evidence. And then if we do deny it, then that denial may be subject to judicial review. Now, the court cases that came up in the late 90s and early 2000s, again, try kind of plumb the depths of what you can and can't do at the city level when these types of applications are pending before the council, for example. So what's substantial evidence? Well, generalized opinions, I don't like it, oh, it's ugly, oh, I'm sure it'll hurt my property values, those generalized comments aren't going to be considered substantial evidence. Now, but when you get opinions for example, of real estate professionals about how real estate prices may be impacted by the location of cell towers nearby, that is considered, and there are cases out there that are specified in the paper, that would be considered substantial evidence. Opinions of affected residents about how cell towers will impact them and property values. Again, you need more than just, oh, it's ugly, I don't want it near my property. If you can have one situation, the residents took pictures of what they thought the cell tower looked like, and it was that kind of hideous looking cell tower that looked like a tree, and they said and they superimposed that cell tower in the woods surrounding the residential property, and you saw a 150-foot tree in the middle of the woods in the winter, and it kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. Again, something like that was considered substantial evidence. Petitions need to be probably admitted into the record at the city council meeting. And again, those have been, when there's opposition, it does show the amount of opposition. Photographic evidence, again, the issue with the tree, that was deemed also substantial evidence. So things of that nature where they superimpose the cell tower into the area and they talk about the visual impact of the cell tower on the property owners, that was considered okay and met the substantial evidence rule requirements. These blanket objections do not constitute substantial evidence. But again, you have to show some evidence. So the courts are I think they had to have some evidence to constitute substantial evidence, and the evidence has to have some reasonable basis and facts for it. And the courts have been fairly lenient in terms of admitting that as or considering that substantial evidence backing a decision to deny an application for a cell tower. And again, one of the things they look at too are there, like churches, are there alternative locations that could be utilized that we eliminate the residents' or neighbors' concerns about the cell tower. Now, again, in a 2015 U.S. Supreme Court case involving a city in Georgia, just outside Atlanta, the decision by a council has to be in writing. And the question in that case was really, well, what does that mean? What kind of writing? What's required if the city wants to deny it? And that, and concerning that, the Supreme Court said, well, you have to have reasons when you deny an application for a cell tower. Again, they don't have to be elaborate, they don't have to be sophisticated, but they have to be clear enough to enable judicial review. So you have to have something in writing. For those of us who deal with local governments, if you have a zoning application before you and your minutes reflect that an application, a public hearing was open at 7 o'clock to hear the application for a cell tower. The public hearing was closed at 7:05. A motion was made to approve or deny it. It was seconded by Council Member X, and the decision was 5-0 to deny it. If that's the extent of your written record and your minutes, you're going to lose in court. So you have to have some valid reasons to it, to deny it, and you have to have those in the record so that a court, when reviewing the decision, has some basis to decide was there substantial evidence or not. Obviously, a bare-bones minutes with nothing about the substance of what was discussed at all would not support that. And the Supreme Court said, though, we don't really have anything, we don't require anything in particular, into some special form of document. There doesn't have to be an ordinance denying it. There doesn't have to be a resolution denying it. So we're not going to have any, we're not going to demand or require that cities have some specific type of document. We don't really care what it is as long as it enables us to review whether there was substantial evidence or not.